at the buzzer, McCord on its way. Oh, my goodness.
They have to get it. No timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Coach G, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside with Coach G. I got a special guest today, my man D-Squared. We're going to talk about anything in college basketball, but especially the Big Ten and Ohio State. You've got to bring in Dan Dockich, who knows all. And also, if you listen to him, you can make a couple of dollars in the first quarter of NBA games. D-Squared, my man. All right, look. I know you've got to have things to talk about on your show, but I'm not sure you totally expected today, all right, June 5th, to be talking about Thad Matta stepping down or being let go. What was your first reaction?
You know, I was shocked. You and I have been in this business a long time, and there's a couple things, Seth. Number one, you know, it's June. The hell we doing firing people in June? You figure you get to June, you're safe. And the second thing was that they let him go. I mean, I get, and I think I know you get that momentum is so important in your program. And it did feel like Ohio State has lost momentum, but you're talking about a 740 winning percentage. You're talking about a guy who's the winningest coach over the last 10 years in the Big Ten. A guy who's done things the right way, never hint a scandal, always seems to do the right thing. It's a sad day in coaching because, we know the reality. We know you got to win. You know you got to win today. But at the end of the day, man, oh, man, firing Thad Matta after 13 years in the middle of June when he didn't want to go, I was shocked, straight shocked.
How much do you think his health, forget about right now, but moving forward, played in this whole thing in terms of Gene Smith's mindset or even Thad's mindset?
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with Thad one time where we talked about, is coaching good for you or bad for you? And I'll tell you why. You know, you think, well, coaching would be bad, the stress. But here's the deal. Coaching forced Thad to move around. And, you know, he's worried that he's going to get older, and he's only in his 40s, and he's going to get older and have to end up in a wheelchair, which is something that he has a legitimate concern inside of himself. He worries about that. At least he expressed that to me. So I do believe that his health made it harder for him. I do believe that his health made things, you know, for everybody a little more difficult. But, you know, my sense of this is he didn't want to go. So my sense is that it didn't bother him. But, Seth, I go to this. I really believe this. I think that momentum is what got him. Gene Smith said the recruiting of late. I say it all the time, Seth. There are certain guys good enough to get you fired. I say it. Jaquan Lyle, good enough to get you fired. James Blackman, Indiana, good enough to get you fired. And I think that's what happened to Thad. They just didn't win enough here of late. And the recruiting was such that Gene Smith, I guess, waited to see where the last recruit was going to go. Kid didn't come. So he gave him the axe. But I can't believe that the health of Thad factored into it for either. But I do know this. I do know that Thad's health is a concern to Thad, particularly later on in life.
How about, like, you talk about momentum, and look, we both have lived it a little bit. It is so hard to get back, and other people use it against you in recruiting, whether it's, you know, Thad's health or it's they've lost 2 years in a row. And then you go to his staff. I mean, obviously, you know, to me, recruiting has changed drastically, and you've got to have a staff that is in tune. And at worst, you got to have someone in the room working for you when you're not there. Has that been hard for him to have that right staff? Jet left, he came back, he elevated Paulus with no experience. Obviously, Coach Dickerson's been there for a while, who's been the staple of the program. How important do you think today having a staff that is connected, not just the head coach, but a staff being connected to the culture and the underculture of college basketball is?
Well, I think it's if it's not the number one thing, it's 1A. You know, I do. I think that when you look, like, I remember telling Mike Tirico, I said, Tubby Smith going to get fired in Minnesota, and it ain't going to be Tubby's fault. It's going to be his son. So Mike started really watching the staff, including Tubby's son. He's like, wow, you're right. And I remember saying the same thing about John Gross. And John ended up changing some of the members of his staff, but I remember saying the same thing. I'm sorry, not John Gross, Bruce Weber. I remember watching Bruce Weber's staff. One time I went to practice, and not one guy was coaching except for Bruce. Not one guy was hanging out with high school coaches that were there. Another guy was standing up against the wall. Another guy was talking to an injured player. I think you've got to have a staff that is energetic and connected. I think you got to have a staff that wants to go out and build relationships with maybe people that you don't want to build relationships. Who the hell wants to have a relationship with an agent? But the truth of the matter is you better have relationships with agents. Who the hell wants to have a relationship with some crazy-ass dad? Well, you better have a relationship with some crazy-ass dad, some crazy-ass AAU coaches. Hell, no reasonable person wants to do that. No reasonable man in his 40s or 50s wants to spend his time on the phone with a 17-year-old. And if you do, what the hell is wrong with you? But you got to do it. It's part of the landscape. Thad was a very private person. Thad liked to hang out on the piece of property that he had. I don't know that he was exactly energetic when it came to going to booster club meetings. So I think it all fits. Like, you can sit there and criticize Calipari or Krzyzewski, but, you know, those two guys, they make the connections, whether it's a World Wide West, whoever the heck it is, they make connections with the people in college basketball that you got to have connections with. You don't have to sell out to them, but you got to connect with them. And part of that is your staff. And, you know, I don't know whether Thad's did or not. I have no idea. I know they were in on a bunch of kids. I know that they have a great university. But, you know, the bigger point, Seth, and you mentioned it, and I think we both know it, is the momentum. And when it's not there, you got no chance. Or you got, like, I always say this, the smartest thing Indiana did to get themselves at least in a position where they didn't fold up shop and lose momentum, when Crean was losing his first couple years, they changed the ticket price, went to a $5 ticket. And all these people from Indiana, from Bloomington on out, Indianapolis, Gary, Maryville, wherever, came to the games because all of a sudden there's tickets available and they're $5. You kidding me? Place looked packed on TV. Place was great looking for anybody that wanted to be recruited by Indiana. And it went and changed the momentum of the place. Lose momentum, you got a real problem. I think Thad did. And I think he'll be much happier with his life in about 4, 5, 6 weeks than he is right now.
You talk about momentum, you talk about playing. They're one of the few teams that they're playing off their campus. Now, look, Ohio State's a great job. We know that. Again, great. Yeah. I don't know how you define great. It's a top 20 job for sure. You should own the state of Ohio. Ohio produces good basketball. There are good coaches in the state, high school coaches in the state. You've got a good geographic footprint to recruit to. It's a pretty cool place to be. All those things said, and I haven't been there recently, are their facilities and is their commitment match their expectations?
You know, it's interesting.
In basketball. Yeah, in basketball.
I think that their facility was great, but I'm talking about the practice facility and all that. At the time, it was state-of-the-art, but I think it's fallen behind now, and I think they're renovating it. The atmosphere at a basketball game can be no good. Football suffocates, and you know what? Given the success Urban and them have had, football probably should suffocate. Just like, really, football suffocates at Michigan, too. Michigan had that run at the end, but you take that run out, football suffocated it. I think their facilities are good. I think they're okay. I think their support is okay. I think it's more of a, if you win, they will come than in Indiana is. You know, most places are like that. But, you know, Purdue has always maintained good crowds. Indiana's always maintained good crowds. Izzo's really never lost. So they've always maintained. But I think it's a, hey, we're with you, win or tie type of a deal. But in terms of the Schottenstein Center Value Senior Arena, it's probably the most professional, probably the least home court advantage. They did some stuff, Seth. They moved the students behind the benches, and that certainly helped. But at the end of the day, you got this big old pro facility. Not great. It'll be interesting because I really believe this, coaching in the state of Ohio for 10 years. I think you can win far easier at Dayton or at Xavier than you can at Ohio State. Like, who hasn't won at Dayton? Like, everybody's telling me, well, you know, Archie Miller's, you know, I think according to Indiana fans, Archie Miller's 28-2 and beat Kentucky six times already as the Indiana coach. You know, but I say, hey, name me the last coach that didn't win at Dayton. Who the hell didn't win at Dayton? The previous coach, Kevin Gregory, went to Georgia Tech, right, for crying out loud. Yeah. So Xavier and Dayton got it figured out. Ohio State's a little bit behind them in the state.
How much do you think Urban Meyer will be part of helping them find and recruit? Because they're going to have to recruit this time of the year, the next basketball coach at Ohio State.
Urban Meyer will do whatever they want. Urban Meyer's a big basketball fan. Urban and I coached together, and he came in a few years when we were rolling. And he was a great supporter of our program and me of his. He is not one of those football coaches that, you know, doesn't want a basketball program to do well. He's not that at all. I mean, if he's in town, he'll go to games. He'll support the coach. He'll hang out. He'll recruit. So I know he and Gene Smith are close. Urban would do whatever they asked him to do. If they told him to stay the hell away, then I'm sure he'll stay the hell away. If they want him to meet with coaches, like when he came to Bowling Green to interview for the job, the first person he wanted to meet was me, the basketball coach, because he wanted to learn about, you know, of all the stuff that you need to know inside of a athletic department. So I would assume if he's asked to meet with people that he would do it. One thing I don't believe, and I refuse to believe, and I will not believe, is that Thad Matta is going to sit there and, quote, be the point person in this search. If I'm Thad Matta, my next four words are, give me a two fingers neat. That's it. Give me two fingers neat. I'm on a beach somewhere. I ain't worried about who the hell is going to replace me. I just want my 3 years of money, a daiquiri, a little something nice, some sun, and I'm sitting.
We'll be back with more Courtside in a moment. But first, we'd like to hear from you. Whether you're new to the podcast or have been listening for some time, we'd like to know how we're doing. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. If you like what you hear, make sure you're subscribed so we're easy to find next time. And if you subscribe in the ESPN app, we can send you an alert whenever we have a new episode. And you can always tweet us your thoughts, questions, or comments using hashtag student section. All right, I'm going to throw a name at you. Would he take the job or not? Chris Holtman.
Oh, man. Would he take the job or not? I'll say no. I think he's a perfect fit at Butler. They just extended him. He's a loyal guy. I would say that unless they came at him with some stupid-type package, which Ohio State can. I don't think he would take it.
Chris Mack.
I think Chris Mack would probably take the job, and I think he probably would regret it because he's got a great thing in Xavier.
Mick Cronin.
I think Mick Cronin, who's a friend of both of ours,
yep,
would swim there in a Speedo to take the job.
Let's hope not a Speedo. Maybe Billy Bonds. Mick in a Speedo, not a good look right now. You know, I haven't had dinner yet. You know what I mean?
I know. But he's a little pale. I get it. I know.
All right, last one. Here's my outside the box. Mike Bray.
Oh, a little
silence from my man D Squared right there. All of a sudden he goes, oh, interesting.
Hey, let me throw this out to you. All right? Let me just throw this part of it out to you.
All right.
Urban Meyer makes $6.4 million as the head football coach at Ohio State. All right? You know what Brian Kelly makes at Notre Dame? $1.2 million. So let me just send that over to basketball. Mike Bray would make a ton more as the head. If they're not paying the football coach any more than that in relation to Ohio State, hey, man, if I'm Mike Bray, my agent's calling, my private plane is gassed up, and we're going to meet in, like, I don't know, somewhere nice and have a discussion, absolutely.
Well, you like that one. You like that one.
I figured I'd get you fired up a little bit.
Now, all right, Indiana, Ohio State, Archie Miller, what's he think? What's Archie Miller thinking right now?
Archie Miller's thinking, I'm glad I took the Indiana job because they may not have wanted me at Ohio State.
All right. I hear you.
Well,
what do you think?
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Serious business. I mean, I know Archie Miller is a good coach. I get all that. I totally get all that. But, you know, I don't know. Archie Miller was on the staff over the last, what, 6-7 years. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. But if I'm Archie Miller, I'm liking the fact, well, this is other than the friendship part of it, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping the Big Ten gets rid of all these really successful coaches. You know what I mean? Like, hey.
Oh, no doubt.
Get rid of Izzo, you know what I mean? I mean, hey, Thad Matta. But, you know, we'll see. But everybody always thinks the next guy's better, so we'll find out.
I'm going to give you one last one. One last one, then we'll. Why wouldn't Ohio State mess with Tom Crean? Available? Big Ten had success in the league.
Is
the anti, in a lot of ways, Thad Matta, in that he's a grinder, and, you know, he's going to, you know, cross every T, dot every I in terms of recruiting, passionate. Obviously, you'd have to put together the right staff. What would the impression be if Tom Crean got involved in that job?
Well, let me ask you this, all right? I mean, I know how, like, to me, as an Indiana alum, and they hired a fired Big Ten coach for Indiana, which, you know, Ohio State, same level, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? I just would be. Now, I think you're right. I think that Tom would recruit with great energy. Tom, you know, my question about Tom would be, hey, you know, you didn't do a great job of getting the kids in Indiana. You know, Ohio, see, you know this, but I don't know if fans know this. The state of Ohio basically provides players for the MAC. Then there's a step higher, which is Dayton, Xavier, Cincinnati. And then kind of what should be in the hierarchy is Ohio State. Like LeBron James should go to Ohio State. It's a slap if he goes to Xavier, Dayton, or Cincinnati. And he's not going to the MAC. So I would have that question for Tom. But in theory, you know, you're also hiring a guy who's won the Big Ten two of the last 5 years. So exactly. You'd be hiring a quality coach. You'd be hiring a recruiter. And you'd be hiring a guy that, quite frankly, loves, or I don't know if he loves it, but he's very good at it, you know, going to alumni things and, you know, speaking to the, you know, riling up the troops. So I could see
it. He has a chip on his shoulder and you know, is motivated and has kind of a chance to unplug his computer, plug back in and reboot. I'm
sure.
To me, all those things are interesting. Obviously, they have a profile of what they want to hire as their coach, but they got to hire someone. It's June 5th. Recruiting starts the first week of July. You've got to come in, connect with your team, try to create your culture, hire a staff, recruit the next three classes, let's face it, to be honest with you. I just think it's an interesting, you know, to me, they've got an interesting scenario in terms of what they're going to do in terms of their hiring. And it'll be interesting to watch.
I'll guarantee it is. I guarantee you, from Tom Crean's end to Ohio State, Gene Smith at all, I guarantee you, he's trying. I'll guarantee you that. I mean, everybody can talk about the only guys that are fully content in a non-coaching world right now are you and I. Seriously, this is going to sound stupid, but making X million of dollars to deal with kids and parents and crap, that sounds miserable to me. But to coaching people, it's like, oh, man, it's Ohio State. What do you think? This is great. I mean, to me, oh, God, how awful to have to spend your July, you know, hanging out in some gym somewhere. And, you know, but you know what? I guarantee you, like, I don't think in this job, Seth, I don't think that big-time current head coach somewhere like a Mike Bray, I think those guys are in play because it's a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think the job is really good, and I think that obviously they've, you know, like any other job when someone gets hired, Dan, I mean, they've got to do whatever they have to do. If you make a change in June, whomever you hire as an athletic director, you are connected at the hip. And you've got to do everything you can do and give him every resource and empowerment to make sure it works. Because if not...
Yeah, but let me tell you this, though, all right? And you know this. You also get, you know, you get a lifetime exemption when you're Gene Smith and you got to get rid of Jim Tressel and you bring in Urban Meyer. That's you know, you and I got to do a little time in purgatory for the sins we have committed. You know, when you hire Urban Meyer and you're the Ohio State coach, man, ain't no purgatory. You get to go straight up to St. Peter. So, you know, in people's minds. So I agree with what you're saying. There's no question. I think the last time they fired a guy, I don't know when they fired Jim O'Brien, but it seems like it was this late, if not, you know, right around the same time, and they came up with that. So, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if they don't come up with somebody really good. What I am surprised, and what I will be surprised at, is if he doesn't have somebody already in hand. Like, I'll be
got
shocked.
Got to.
Yeah, right? You got to have somebody in hand.
If you had that conversation with Thad Matta on Friday, last Friday or Thursday, whatever it was, there is no doubt in my mind. I would be shocked if I would say Friday or Monday the latest, there's not a basketball coach at Ohio State. There's got to be. You're not letting Thad Matta go unless you know you have your guy or two guys that, you know what, you've had that conversation and they can see themselves as the head coach at Ohio State. No doubt about it.
Let me tell you something. Going back to football for a second, Urban's a friend. Urban was the coach at Ohio State, the second Ohio, and everything was in place pretty much. The second Ohio State realized this stuff with Tressel serious enough that we got to let him go. I mean, that bad boy was D-U-N done before, you know, before the press conference letting Tressel go. So Gene Smith knows his way around, and Gene Smith, pretty smart guy. I'm not going to be surprised, as you said, Friday, Monday, somebody already is in place, no doubt.
You know what's the great thing about having you on, D-Squared? It's not every day you can get a spelling lesson.
D-U-N.
Now, before we get this wrapped up, do we have any advice on Game 3? I mean, we might as well just throw it out there.
Yeah, here's the advice on Game 3. Stay the hell away from it if you're going to bet. Stay away, because I'll tell you why. I'm looking right now. Or I'm not looking right now. I'm driving right now. But somebody told me at the end of the show, my show today, that the Cavs were favored by a couple. That scares me. But I'm telling you, the best bet, I would bet it even though I'm not sure about it on the road. Best bet, and I read this somewhere, first quarter, Golden State winning the first quarter. That thing will put your kids through college if you play that thing right.
And last question. I know, Josh, I'm killing you here. My man Junior's coming to Connecticut. All right?
Yeah.
We know he had a little car issue with tickets.
Yeah.
Is he coming with a bicycle, or did we kind of get – is he out of purgatory?
No. It is to be determined. My son is at Quinnipiac, and I just got a call from him yesterday saying, "Hey, Dad, I don't know what his girlfriend lives an hour and a half away. She went out of town, so he had her car. I don't know what happened, Dad, but they had to tow it." I'm like, "Really? So you ruined her car?" Yeah. So that set us back a few days there, big boy. I got to do some thinking. I know look, you and I both know that a Michigan graduate, there are two schools where they tell you they graduated from them within 3 seconds of the conversation, Michigan and Notre Dame. You know, people that graduated from Michigan and Notre Dame let you know the 2 seconds. Well, you know, when I was at Michigan, and of course I graduated from there, well, he's a Michigan man, but, man, is he god-awful with cars. So, Seth, as of this moment, my boy is going to have to figure out how to get through the snow of Connecticut without wheels.
All right, brother. Well, hey, he's always got a place here at the Greenbergs. You know that.
Oh, that's all awesome. Right. I told him, I said, stop over. They got good wine at the Greenberg House.
All right, my friend. You're the best.
All right, brother.
That's Dan Dockich. Nothing better.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Cats and Coach G. You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts. Courtside with Cats and Coach G.